Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Texans and Chargers on Sunday, noon kick. Seth and I got Texans pregame. Texans countdown presented by Modelo at 9 o'clock. If you're going out to the game and you're in Bud Light Plaza, stop by, say hello. We're looking forward to it. Noon kick and then Texans postgame following the game, taking you up to Sunday night football. There is Sunday morning football, too. So the Vikings and the Saints have the first overseas game this week. So there is that as well, as we're on the cusp. Actually, we're into week four now. The Dolphins, if you missed it, lose last night to the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals even their record at 2-2. Dolphins no longer undefeated. 27-15, the final score. Big story in that one if you're just waking up. Tua Tagovailoa left the game with what looked to be a much more serious concussion than the one he may or may not have sustained on Sunday against the Bills.
Right. Yeah. So all kinds of intrigue and questions about whether or not the protocol failed him, whether the individual – I guess that would be the question, whether the protocol failed him or whether the individual people conducting the protocol, specifically the independent advisors, were somehow affected. So there's an investigation. They'll figure it out. I think from a pure football perspective – if you evaluated Tua and Joe Burrow up to the point where Tua got injured, and then Joe Burrow afterwards, neither of these guys looked all that sharp. I mean, nope. Tua had one really ugly interception, and then like in the next quarter, the series before his injury, like a wildly errant downfield pass. He can be as accurate as he wants. I told you, Sean, they were trying to turn him into the quarterback equivalent of Tavon Austin. He's great. He's accurate at throwing screens. Whoop-de-doo for you. Him downfield, Tyreek Hill's going to get so tired of having to slow up and come back for unintentionally thrown. When Pat Mahomes underthrows you, it's a back shoulder fade. When Tua underthrows you, it's because he just doesn't have the arm to get it there.
Yeah.
And Burrow, Burrow had his appendix. He had his appendectomy a couple months before training camp. He was hardly in training camp at all. I remember there was that funny video of him doing the wind sprints in his golf cart alongside everybody else. And everybody thought, yeah, no big deal. And then last night and all of this season, really, he's really only had one, I think, credible game, and it was maybe last week. But before that, it's been a whole lot of misfires.
Yeah, he was good in the second half of this one. He did enough to win the game. He had a real nice deep ball to T. Higgins that got them a touchdown.
Was it though? That was underthrown too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have to reach back for that.
Yeah, he had to reach back. He didn't
on
have
his
to
hip
stop.
Pocket.
Yeah, he didn't have to stop for it. I guess maybe I got. Maybe watching Tua throw deep balls that I actually saw the other quarterback throw one that hit the guy slightly behind him but still in stride was good enough for me. But Joe Burrow, and honestly, Seth, as you say that, and we're going to get to Brandon Staley here in just a minute, my big takeaway from that game last night is that for a team that was undefeated going into that game and for the other team who's the defending AFC champs, it's not two great teams. You know what I mean?
Like,
you think the Texans have trouble running the football? Go watch Joe Mixon try to run the football last night for the Bengals. They were atrocious. They supposedly upgraded their offensive line this offseason. I haven't seen it yet.
I know. Well, and if you think about just when I watch these teams, I think about, okay, what is Davis Mills working with versus what is Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow working with?
Oh, it's light years different.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm trying to be honest, you know, and fair with Davis Mills as much as I can, because it's easy to pile on. Any of the bottom half quarterbacks in the league right now, if they were out there last night playing the way that those quarterbacks played, I would be angered, right? Yeah. I would say, like, what the hell? You've got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and all these guys, and you can't look better than this? What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So it's a little dose of a reality pill. Frankly, Sean, I think there's like, we're still at a point where there's like three good quarterbacks in the NFL, and everything else is just window dressing and fakery.
Early on, that is what it feels like. I guess what I would say about that, Seth, is yeah, if it sounds like we're being like a little bit apologist for Davis, like, well, his best weapon is Brandon Cooks, who, by the way, himself has not had a great first three games of the year. My counterpoint to ourselves as I try to get back into my Davis anger mode is, yeah, just don't get shut out in the fourth quarter. Score a point in the fourth quarter. Asking you to go be Aaron Rodgers, but just don't be at the bottom of the barrel on all this stuff.
Don't look as god awful as
I said earlier, we've said it all week, a B minus. If you were a B minus in any of these games, you're probably, if you're a B minus in all three of these games, you're probably 2-1.
That's right where, and I think that when I listen to various podcasts or watch stuff from outside of Houston, what they'll say invariably is, man, Houston's played three games right down to the wire. And what's lost in the context there, because nobody's actually watching these games, is that, no, they've completely gotten dominated down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, they've lost these games. This is not like a back and forth, like, boy, coin flip type of situation. It's like, no, they've gotten beaten in the fourth quarter of these games.
If they were prize fights, they would have called the fight somewhere at about the 10-minute mark left in regulation in these games. You know, like, that's how I look at it. But you're right. Nobody's watching these games outside of Houston and whatever city they're playing against. Brandon Staley. This Sunday, they are playing against the team coached by Brandon Staley, who at one time was interviewed by the Houston Texans for their vacant head coaching job two head coaches ago, before they hired David Culley. Here's Brandon Staley on his interview with the Texans back in 2021.
Nick Caserio is someone that I have the utmost respect for. I've known Nick a long time, and I think that in the NFL, I have as much respect for him as anybody. And so I just remember it being a really thorough interview. I remember learning a lot. Being able to engage Nick and kind of his vision for the Texans and the state of that team and where he was trying to go with it. So, I knew that, I knew the Texans were in good hands, and I think as a prospective candidate, it's so much about the people. It's so much about, aligning with the right people. So, I think Nick's doing an outstanding job there.
The other connection that those two have was that Brandon Staley did a tour at John Carroll. Which is
a stretch. Yeah. I did a stretch at John Carroll back in the day.
John Carroll, which is where both Nick Caserio and did Josh McDaniels go
he
there?
He did. They were teammates. They were
teammates at John Carroll. And then there's a few other. John Carroll's like a sneaky hotbed of coaching talent.
Yeah.
So I this is what I'm starting to wonder about Brandon Staley, is that he's a media darling, especially he is a blogger darling, because when it comes to the analytics and kind of the more intellectual side of football, he's really bright and he's good at talking to that. He doesn't have the old school, blowhard football coach persona or the stereotypical persona. But I'm starting to wonder if maybe the issue with Brandon Staley, the defensive mastermind who doesn't seem to field good defenses anymore as a head coach, I wonder if he's a little bit like one of these guys that's really, really good at the technical side of football, but not the actual coaching of football, which is an issue when you're a football coach. You got to coach the team well, because there's certain things they do on offense and defense where they still look a little bit like a poorly coached football
team. When you say the technical side of football, are you talking about like in-game decisions and managing a game and things?
No,
like
I think like theory and philosophy.
Gotcha.
And you know, game planning and stuff like that. But there's a difference between game planning and then executing the game plan. And some of the stuff that when Brandon Staley was with the Rams, it's gotten a little annoying that there's all this drooling over these defensive coordinators who have awesome talent and play a bunch of cover two. Like, yeah, that's what you do when you have awesome talent. You play, you let football players be football players. Like most of those coaches, I played for Vic Fangio, and Vic Fangio, when I was a player, I'd talk to him about it, and he would always say, like, you know, ideally, if you can stop the run with seven guys, you're in the best spot possible, because then you can just play cover two and it makes everything a whole lot easier. And you can mix your coverages up. But as long as you can stop the run and rush the pass, stop the run with seven guys and rush the passer with four guys. And when Vic has had the opportunity to have talent like that, like all of a sudden people act like he's invented a new defense with a cover two. And Brandon, wow, Brandon Staley has awesome players and he plays cover two. Yeah, that's what you do. But so it's not quite as simple as that when you don't have a bunch of all pros on your defense.
Yeah, I Staley and the Chargers are a really interesting team to me, because the Chargers feel like a team. It doesn't matter who you plug in as the head coach. It doesn't matter who you plug in as the quarterback. The Chargers somehow find a way to charger things. You know, they've replaced Phillip Rivers with Justin Herbert, and they still have just as many weird, like silly comebacks allowed, silly mistakes at the end of games, poor injury luck. Like it feels like a cursed franchise, no matter who the head coach is and who the quarterback is. This is who the Chargers are. They lost to the Texans last year in week 16. Like there was an article I read that listed all of the weird things that the Chargers allowed to happen to them last year to miss the playoffs. And you know, they go 9-8. And they come in like the Chargers did many years under Phillip Rivers as one of the top five or six teams on the odds board to win the Super Bowl. And you look up at the end of the year and they're 6-10. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why they're 6-10, because they've got eight Pro Bowlers on the team and yet they're 6-10. Like this is, now they're not healthy for this game, but if they were healthy, like this is a super talented football team when everybody's healthy. They got Pro Bowlers all over the place.
They're banged the hell up right now. And I think the biggest and most crucial part is that they've got two quality starters out on their offensive line. And Justin Herbert did really well as a rookie with Pep Hamilton as his coach without a good offensive line. And I think that maybe people jumped the gun on thinking that this was some kind of, you know, Phillip Rivers type of guy that could play whether the offensive line is good or not. And I don't think it's as simple or as easy as that. And so far, like Herbert in this last game versus the Jaguars, he made some poor decisions, sometimes under pressure. One time, his one interception, he was really just staring his slot receiver down and like really badly. But I think it's affected his decision making. You add that his rib cartilage is cracked.
Yeah.
And if you had to draw the Chargers at any point this season, this is probably the perfect time to do it.
100%. You're spot on with that. Mills probably had his best game as a pro last year, best game as a pro, period, because it's last year plus three games this year. 21 against the Chargers, 21-27, 254 yards, two touchdowns. God, looking at the box score. Like, there was a game, my first reaction is, there was a game where Davis Mills was 21 of 27? No way. Wow. I can't believe it.
You know where what the Chargers were able to do versus the Jaguars, or excuse me, what the Jaguars were able to do with the Chargers, was able to find some space in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some of the easier throws actually were pretty open. So the Chargers just did not have that area locked down. I think like the Texans, they might just not be all that adept, or at least with this current group, with the linebackers. So I think there's an area of opportunity. The part that I'm worried about is when I think about how the Texans linebackers have looked in coverage at times. We got a little bit of a break from it last week just because Justin Fields is
so
such
bad.
An incredibly bad passer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just awful.
He's awful. Yeah.
That we were spared from that somewhat, even though the tight ends had some success. I don't I don't think we're going to be spared from it this week.
No.
That's the huge challenge is, okay, can we keep – if Kamu Grugier-Hill has 20 tackles in this game, trust me, please don't talk about it like it's a good thing, people.
Good
it's
luck
gonna
with
be
that,
because
Seth.
He's targeted in coverage 18 times and has 18 tackles.
People love their tackles around here. Payne and Pendergast with you. It's a Football Friday presented by Miller Lite. Hey, what's Tyler's deal with Aaron Judge and Aaron Judge's face?
I don't know, man.
Tyler Milner is who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Tyler, he had a good night the night before, I think.
Okay.
When he went to the Astros game.
Okay.
It almost sounded like he just rolled. It sounded like he rolled in from like some poker game that had just finished into the studio yesterday afternoon. But he hadn't seen Aaron Judge's mom receiving the ball from Aaron Judge after
right,
the game.
Right.
So he's not insulting Aaron Judge's mom, but he asked a question that Cho and Clint thought was a little bit beyond the limits of what should be asked on a radio show.
Does Judge's mom look as much like an ogre as he does?
No, she's actually a smaller lady.
Is her face ogre-ish?
I'm going to draw the line here. You're going to be talking about that guy's mom.
I mean, I asked a question.
No, you're not going to.
I mean, she birthed like that ugly dude.
Oh, my God. Now, you're out of line.
I mean, DNA, that's how it works usually.
This is going past sports fans.
I mean,
you just called this woman an ogre.
I haven't seen her. I have not seen her. I asked, does she have ogre qualities?
You're simply a POS human.
You're simply a POS human.
Does she have ogre qualities? I would answer no, but also I think I thought those two were trying to defend the honor of Mrs. Judge.
Yeah.
I feel like calling Aaron Judge's face ogre-like is a little bit over the I feel like that's a little much, Tyler. I feel like that's out of bounds.
Here's where I'm going to defend. First of all, Tyler, come on, man. Like, I don't look at Judge and say like, "Oh, he's the ugliest human being on the planet." Maybe I'm a little off on that, but as far as I will defend Tyler in this, he wasn't calling Judge's mom. Let me back up. Judge is adopted, by the way. So the whole DNA thing, the whole birthing thing.
I'm not sure Tyler knows how DNA works.
They informed him. Yeah, who knows? Maybe he feels like it's COVID and it's contagious. Boy, if she stopped coughing on him, he wouldn't look like such an ogre. He was asking Clinton Show what she looks like.
Right,
they could have very simply said, no, she doesn't look like an ogre. And oh, by the way, it wouldn't matter because Judge is adopted, you know?
Yeah. It does, but it puts those guys in an awkward position. What if she did look like an ogre? Then you all of a sudden got to be...
You got to tell it like it is, you know?
No, 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 no. No, you do not. That's.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I think Judge... The other thing, too, is that there's a chance that Aaron Judge ends up as the Astros right fielder next year. So you don't want to.
Oh, dude. I want this to happen because I can't wait to see Tyler Milner backtrack and talk about how handsome Judge is when he signs with the Astros for 8 years, $400 million.
You know what? He's handsome in the way that Joe DiMaggio is handsome. Yeah. Like, he's handsome in the 1930s, pre-dental care.
Yep.
People didn't really, there wasn't good nutrition everywhere.
Yes.
So you could fool yourself into thinking Joe DiMaggio was good looking. That's Aaron Judge's good look.
He's Industrial Revolution handsome. That's what we call that.
He only works 16 hours a day, and they give him gruel thrice a week.
Yep. And they're just working out the kinks with this electricity thing.
Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, not a handsome man.
He's the bell of the flower mill.
I guess. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Football Friday, but Carlos Correa. You all remember Carlos Correa, right? He'll be watching the postseason this year for the first time in a while. Carlos Correa, the big topic in Minnesota. Will Carlos Correa be back as a Minnesota Twin? When you hear the answer from him to that question, you're going to get a real clear picture as to why the Astros said hell no to this 3-year opt-out contract, 1-year blah-bitty-blah that he got from the Twins. You'll hear that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.